Hello, my name is Richard Hunter, and I'm one of the pastors at River Chase United Methodist Church, and I'll be teaching today on one of the lessons for the week of June the 21st, 2020. And I especially found interest in the readings for June the 23rd. We have a reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2 that begins that we should pray for kings and all people. And then if you look at 2 Kings chapter 4 in verse 38, we find Elisha talking about death in the pot. And the people were saying, we can't eat that soup because there's death in the pot. I don't know if that was about taste or by culture or by tradition, but basically the scripture ends with Elisha saying, all can be redeemed and just add flour. And I'd like to say that flour for us today is going to be adding prayer and perseverance in our praying for others. And then Psalm 83 begins with the words, O God, do not be silent. And these words are very special to me today because I'm spending 12 hours today in prayer. And on the top of every hour, I'm going to a different worship space here at River Chase to pray for the life of our church. We're seeking discernment as we plan for and get ready to open to public worship once again here on our campus. And we want to do that in a very intentional way. We want to guarantee the safety of our people and prepare for it. And we want to make our priority the spiritual and the physical health of our people. So that's a huge prayer concern for me today. And I'm asking God not to be silent, but to speak to me. So that requires me to listen and to stop and to wait. And I think what Paul is trying to get Timothy's attention in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in our lesson today is to realize that he is the young pastor of this church in Ephesus, and he needs to lead them in prayer every time they gather to pray for those in authority. And this begins with listening to the Holy Spirit and learning how to pray for those, and then doing so every day, praying for those in authority over us because they have influence over us. And also people in authority have so much responsibility and temptation. They have daily anxiety. They always have more on their plate than they can handle. So we as the people of God, as those in their community, need to be in prayer for them, always remembering the huge responsibility that they have to lead people across a community, a state, a nation, and even across our world. So let's turn in the epistles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Paul is writing the young pastor, Timothy, and he says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and all people, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at its proper time. And for this purpose, I, Paul, was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth now, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. And it is our prayer that in this short time together, God will open this scripture and show us how this word can be applied in our own lives. Praise be to God. Amen. So for Paul, he's saying, pray for all men. And the word, that's of course, New International Version, uses the Greek anthropos, which really means all people. Anthropos in Greek is for all people. So this is a declaration, even though it says for all men, it's for all people. Luke Johnson, a New Testament scholar that teaches at Candler School of Theology, says that this would have been a huge leap forward in the early Christian consciousness. Now think about it. On the day of resurrection, the first person to witness that resurrection was a woman. And Jesus said to Mary on that early Easter morning, go and tell the disciples what you have seen and what you have heard, and I will meet with them in Galilee. And she did that. So she was the first proclaimer of the resurrection, which is a central teaching of our faith. Without the resurrection, everything else just doesn't make sense as a faith that guides us and saves us for eternity. And then in the early church, many of the house churches Paul set up were hosted by women. And the women would have been the people that administrated or organized that house church and invited people to the faith in Jesus Christ. That was one great thing the Christian church did in the first century, the very first religion to involve both men and women in the spiritual leadership of the church. Now, Paul tells us that we are to pray for kings and rulers. And to apply that to our modern day, I would say that for us in our 21st century here in the United States means pray for our president, our governors, our mayors, our city council persons, our Congress leaders, those who are chief of police, those who are head of fire departments. Pray for those that have civic responsibility, that have great influence over us, that need to have the wisdom to govern a group of people, a whole community, even a nation. Now, in my life, I've heard through the years people who have said, oh, I just can't pray for Richard Nixon. He was a crook. Or people would say, I can't pray for Bill Clinton. I disagree with him on too many issues. Or they say, I can't pray for George H.W. Bush because he led us into a war in Kuwait. Or they'll say, I can't pray for our present president, Donald Trump. I don't agree with him. I don't like him. I'm not going to pray for him. But I would call people's attention. That's the best time to pray for someone. When you don't disagree with them. When you see them struggling. When you see them maybe even failing in their calling as a leader among men and women. We should not judge them, but instead we should pray for them and desire the best for them. Our prayers should not be an endorsement at all. That's not what Paul is telling Timothy. He wants that early church in Ephesus not to be a place caught up in politics, but a place called up in building a koinonia community, a group of people who love Christ, and Christ is their Lord, not Caesar, but Jesus Christ. So we're not to endorse our authorities, but we're to be concerned for them, to have faith in their redemption, to unite our hearts with their hearts for the sake of the whole community, and to have compassion for them. For all have fallen and need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I was working at Lake Junaluska, our Methodist Jurisdictional Center up in North Carolina, I was about 20 years old. I was going into my junior year of college, and I was assigned to be a bookkeeper at the Terrace Hotel. Now, the Terrace Hotel, the new Terrace, as we call it, the brick one, that is right in front of the lake there, had just been built, and it was the first summer it was open, and I was so excited to work there in any capacity, as a bellboy, as a luggage carrier, as in the cafeteria, or even a bookkeeper. So I went to work behind the desk, and I was the bookkeeper from 11 p.m. at night till 7 a.m. in the morning. And the manager of the Terrace was known as a very fierce lady. She had worked on the grounds of Lake Junaluska for years, and now she's assigned to be the first manager of the Terrace Hotel. Well, she was tough as nails. She drove us very hard. Most of her employees were college students like myself, and she was strict with us. She was a disciplinarian. She had high expectations, and she was a perfectionist, and she expected me to balance those books to the penny and get everything right and not have to erase anything or start over in the morning. And she rarely gave compliments. It was hard to work with her because she was more negative than positive. And one day I was complaining to one of the older staff members. He was probably 27 or 28. And he said, you know, why don't you start by praying for her? Do so daily. And I thought, I don't even know where to start. This lady needs so much prayer. But I started praying for her, and it changed me first. All of a sudden, I felt this unusual empathy and compassion for her, the huge responsibility she had. I realized that she was the first female hotel manager at Lake Junaluska, and therefore it made the burden greater upon her. When we pray for others, it changes us first, and it changed my relationship with her. I began to hear her words to me and her actions in very different tones. So we're to pray for our political leaders, and that can be dicey. It's not to be an endorsement or an embrace. It's not to be to really shape their political stands. It's to be open-hearted, for the people we're praying for to know compassion, to see all the people in the community and across the nation and the world. We pray for their health, for them to have family time. We pray for them to know rest and peace and to hear God's voice, even if they say they don't believe in God, or they believe in God differently than we do, or they worship different than we do. We need for them to hear God's voice, and we pray that they would be open and they would realize that God has called them and can shape them for public leadership and service. Now, Luke Johnson also says about this scripture that it is one of our duties as good citizens of the world to be the prayer warriors for those in authority. We are to be examples of empathy and grace, and we are to be for all people, even the ones we disagree with. Now, Paul believes in the opportunity for all people to be saved. It's one of his crowning sermons throughout his letters that he believes everyone, Gentile and Jew, male and female, slave and free, sinner and saint, all can be saved, can have the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that mean to be saved? Saved from a meaningless life, saved from hopelessness, saved from selfish ambition, saved from immorality and anything that would separate us from having a healthy and good relationship with God, save from insignificance and not having a purpose. And therefore, we're saved for very important things. We're saved for grace and a relationship with God, a relationship where there's no separations, where we have peace with God and assurance. We are saved to make a difference in this world, to be followers of Jesus, his disciples, working for the kingdom of God. We are saved to bring glory to God, and we are saved to be with Christ forever in heaven, to know the glories of the life to come. Yes, we believe that all people have the opportunity, and it is God's will for all people to be saved. When I was in seminary, I met a young man by the name of Wes Griffin, and we were both seminary students. Wes was from Georgia, I was from Alabama, and we were looking forward to serving across the United Methodist Church. Through the years, we've worked on many projects together, and now he's the president of the International Leadership Institute. Almost every time I talk to Wes, he says something about he believes in the salvation of all people and that he's not going to rest till all people are saved. I love that about him. I remember getting on an airplane with him in Atlanta, Georgia at Hartsfield International Airport, and we flew from there to Detroit. Then we changed planes and flew to Copenhagen, and we met with a group of pastors that had a radio ministry, and we helped encourage them and give them training and resources so that they could grow a ministry to reach all people through Europe by the radio. And then we flew from there to the Congo. Once we reached the Congo in the capital of Kinshasa, we then had to get on another plane and fly into the interior of the Democratic Republic of the Congo to a little town called Kindu. Kindu was very small in landmass, but had about 200,000 people. We were there to train leaders of the church, both pastors and lay leaders of the church, in evangelism and stewardship and family priority. And we wanted to raise up Christian leaders in that country who could raise up leaders in their local churches for the salvation of all people. I remember one of the most powerful lessons that week was the lesson on reaping the harvest. And these 70 church leaders each pledged, made a promise to each other and to God that they would train 70 leaders each for a total of 4,900 new leaders across the Congo to reach the harvest, to reap a great harvest for Jesus Christ. And they went out that week, committed to do so. And within 2.5 years, they had broken their goal and trained over 4,980 leaders in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Today, the East Congo Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church is becoming one of the largest annual conferences in the world of Methodism, because these leaders made it their commitment to reap a great harvest, believing that all people, those in authority and those that are not, could be saved. So today I think it's very important for us to pray for our neighbors, We need to pray for those that are new around us, but especially to pray for those in authority. Recently, I met a family that came here to serve as leaders of the chemistry department at the University of Alabama here in Birmingham. Both of them are originally from Pakistan. They studied here in the United States, and they've been hired by UAB to head a new department within the chemistry department of that great university. And when they met me, they were quick to say that they were Buddhist. And I began to ask them questions, and they asked me questions, and it became so obvious that they were tremendously curious about what I believed. And I promised them that I would pray daily for them as they prepared to lead this department at UAB. They loved that. They appreciated it. Every now and then, at least once a week, really, I get an email from them about a specific prayer request. Now, have they become Christians? Well, not yet, but they're very interested, and they do believe that our prayers make a difference. So right now, pray for those in leadership in your community, police chiefs, mayors, representatives, Congress members, and our president. Our nation is hurting right now. The best thing we can do is pray and then ask God to lead us into actions based on our prayers, because prayers are meant to lead us to make a difference in the world. They're not an end unto themselves. Now, Hans von Balthasar was a Swiss theologian and a Catholic priest who's known as one of the most important theologians of the 20th century. And he said this, "We can and must at least hope that everyone will be saved." He was one of the founders of the Community of St. John, a group that has served the poor and the broken and the disenfranchised all around the world. But he believes every person, those in authority and those in the lowest reins of society, can be saved. And what I like about his statement is he says, "will be." This is an active verb, because this theologian reminds us that it's God's plan and hope that all would be saved. Not that they'd be forced into salvation, but instead they would realize it is God's desire for them, and it is about the wholeness of their living. Maybe God will use your prayers this very week to prepare someone for salvation, for someone to make a big decision, for someone to be compassionate in a way they've never been compassionate before, for someone in authority to see the world in a way they've never seen it before, a king, a ruler, a president, a mayor. God can use your prayers. When David Vann was elected mayor of Birmingham, Alabama in 1975, he came to speak at Birmingham Southern College. And I was a student that next year there, a freshman. And I remember somebody asking David Vann, "Well, what can we do as students, you know, as leaders of tomorrow, what can we do to support you now in these changes you're trying to make in Birmingham?" And he said, "Pray for me. Not that I will come to think just like you, but instead I will honor God with my decisions and I will serve all the people in my city." I'll never forget his humble response. He really wanted our prayers. As you go forward this week, be a prayer warrior. Remember that Paul prayed for Timothy, and Timothy led his church to pray for all the rulers of his city and the known world. Go forward and pray without ceasing. Amen.